Hello, everyone. Hopefully you're having and or had a wonderful day today. If you're new here, welcome. If you're not new here, welcome back. This is Beyond the Garment with me, your boy, Drew Joyner. I just had a brain fart here in the first 20 seconds of the podcast. Sorry about that. If you don't know anything about me, I'm Drew. It's good to meet you. I make fashion content on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, talking about trends, sometimes talking about outfit breakdowns, talking about Americana, Japanese Americana, Japanese fashion, women's wear, men's wear, all the things that encapsulate my interests within fashion. And that includes this podcast and kind of talking to you guys through the lens of a podcast, which is, it's very different from talking and creating videos, because when I script out a video, a lot of times I have like a lot of points that I really want to hit. When I'm talking on the podcast, there are things that just kind of come up in my brain, like this entire section right now. And I just have to kind of like spitball and free roll for the episode, which I think is fun. Like, I think it's fun to be able to interact with you guys, the audience, people who care about the things that I'm into. Obviously, like, I want to make this entire experience, this parasocial relationship, this interaction about things that you're interested in as well. But today, it's going to be a bit different, right? So today, we're going to be doing a solo dolo episode. It's just me and you and wherever you are, if you're drawing, if you're writing, if you're running, if you're sitting and listening, whatever you may be doing, it's just going to be me in your ear for the next, I don't know how long this is going to be, so however long it's going to be. But today's episode is going to be all about why your style will inevitably change, right? That's going to be the focus point. Before we get into that, I kind of want to give you guys a bit of a recount or an intro of how life has been for me in New York City over the last couple of days here. So spring is in full force here in New York City, which is interesting. I was excited for spring because I think winter was definitely an interesting period for New York. It snowed a couple of times. In fact, I'm from Colorado, if you don't know, and I grew up in Denver, and I'm used to having a snowy winter. And people were telling me, you know, that it still can snow in spring in New York City, but the amount of snow that you get here in New York is far less than what you get in Colorado. And the snow type is different as well, because you have to walk around and navigate the city so much. When snow piles up on the streets of New York, it kind of like creates these weird puddles of slush and grime and dirt that you have to kind of walk over as you're navigating through the city on foot, and it becomes kind of gross. Very different from Colorado, where you have your car, whether it's, you know, front wheel drive or four wheel drive. That's very important in Colorado. You got to have a four wheel drive car, which I never had actually growing up in Colorado, because that's another story. But very different being able to navigate the snow through car, with heating, with all the things, versus in New York City with trench coats and a big, chunky, thick pair of boots. So, to say the least, I'm excited about the spring. But spring in New York City has been interesting. Like I said, it's been, there are days where it's 70 degrees, and then the next day it drops back down to 44. And even though 44 is warmer than the 32, 27, 35 that we experience in winter, it still feels relatively cold. And there are a lot of days where it's just not very sunny in New York, which kind of lends itself to outfits, right? Like, it means that in the spring, still a decent amount of layering going on, still not too warm for pants, or excuse me, not too warm for shorts or anything crazy to be worn. So everyone's still wearing pants. Everyone's still acting like it's winter because it's early spring, right? One of the coolest moments I had recently was at a Thai shop that was actually recommended by someone who DM'd me on Instagram. If you don't know, I've been getting more and more into wearing ties and implementing different style of ties within my personal style as a way to kind of add a pop of color in the center portion of an outfit, and as a way to just add texture and just different interesting elements within an outfit. And Sago neckwear is one of the most iconic, one of the institutions, one of the coolest places in New York City that I've ever been to. Sago neckwear, Sago New York. I don't have like the full history range of it, but I went to this Thai shop basically on the Upper East Side, and it was this really cool experience. It's a small shop, Seiko Neckwear, where when you walk in, it's owned and run by Seigo, who's this Japanese man, I believe, and he has operated this tie shop for over 30 years, and it's like a candy shop for ties. And I'm not talking about like low quality ties. We're talking about really interesting, really cool ties. On the wall in the shop, it shows the celebrities who have been here and worn and bought and purchased ties from like NBA analyst Ernie Johnson. They had Magic Johnson. They had Bill Nye. It was really interesting. That was really fun kind of experience. And that was a really beautiful spring day as well. Like, where it was just a really great spring day. Other than that too, I mean, just like mentally, I've been doing a lot of, not mentally, but just like from a standpoint of fun and play, I've been reading George Orwell's 1984, which is, if you don't know, one of the more popular books by George Orwell. I don't know everything about George Orwell. I've had this book on my to-read list for a long time. I'm listening to it on Audible right now. And it's very fascinating. Very, very fascinating book. Maybe I'll, I don't know if how it relates to fashion, but I'm just excited to like finish it. I'm almost halfway through, and then I'm going to watch the movie, and that should be a lot of fun. Let me know. I don't know how you're going to let me know. So maybe send me a DM or something like that if you've ever listened or read to George Orwell's 1984. The book is all about, it's about, you know, mid-20th century communism, and it's a little bit about capitalism, and it's about like war and the Cold War, and kind of this fictitious world where you know, the warring states, the superpowers of the world, are kind of going at odds with each other, and what it means for the citizens who are living within the societies where there's this idea that Big Brother is going to take them or kill them or vaporize them throughout the entire story. It's like a thriller with love elements and a bit of history as well. And a bit of like some warning notes, I guess you could call it too, I guess, from the book. It's a really interesting. I was not expecting it. I had no idea. I had no idea about it before reading it. So I didn't have any prior knowledge to it. I just had heard, oh, you should read George Orwell's 1984. And I'm reading it now, and it's fun. Speaking of things that I'm reading or finished, I also finished Vinland Saga, if you guys care about anime, those kind of things. I love that anime. That was a really fantastic anime. Something that just creatively, like, I try to make sure that for what I do with my job, with what I do with creating content, I try to make sure that my references come from a myriad of places. And I think George Orwell's 1984, Vinland Saga, are two examples of things that are not necessarily on the same spectrum. I think George Orwell's 1984 is more of like a adult kind of like historical lens thriller, but also has elements of fantasy in there. And I guess Vinland Saga, obviously it's a fantasy story about Vikings, and it's an anime kind of lens POV of Vikings, which is kind of cool in my opinion. But yeah, that's new with me. Let's talk about why your style will inevitably change. That's the title of the podcast episode. That's why we're here, right? Also, really quick, give me feedback. If someone just wants to shoot me a DM, Beyond the Garment Pod on Instagram, or just send Drew Joyner a DM. Let me know if the way I format this, like, I try to just have like a casual conversation, let my thoughts out. Should I just get more right into the episode, or do you kind of want things to be more drawn out like this? I would love to know, because I talk into the void and I'm talking to myself right now, and it's good to have some level of feedback, because I inevitably want to create the best product, best podcast for you guys. I know that I can do it selfishly and do whatever I want to do, but I also want to be cognizant of the fact that the audience also is super important. I'm incredibly grateful for you guys. All right, enough of that. Let's actually dive in. So what prompted this episode was, I was just sitting here and thinking, it's a cloudy spring rainy day in New York City. That's why I brought up the weather so much. And I was thinking, you know, what could I talk about at length a little bit for this week's episode? And I've recently received a DM. I obviously, you guys know my job is receiving DMs and answering DMs. Received a DM from someone who had been following along with my journey for a while, and they sent me a DM and they said, "Drew, you know, your style has really elevated to another level. as of recent. And I was incredibly honored and like very, very like, wow, that's a very nice comment for this person to say who's been knowing me for a while. It made me feel good. And it made me think about, you know, what is the difference between my style, you know, after being in New York City for 7 months, being 26 years old, what is the difference between my style now versus 12, 16, 18 months ago? And as I was thinking about this, I thought back to my younger self who was 20, 19, 18, and I probably could, like without a shadow of a doubt, I would say that I would not have imagined my style when I was that young. I would not imagine my style to be where it is today when I was that young, which is interesting because I've always felt like, you know, I live my life with a sense of direction and purpose. I'm always aiming towards a goal, whether it's when I was younger, I was aiming towards like athletic goals in basketball, or when I was younger, I was in school. So your goal was to do well on tests, do well on homework. But now that I've been an adult, like outside of school for a good chunk of time now, it's interesting. Like even when I first started adulting, quote unquote, after I graduated, I didn't see where my style is today. And I had to sort of discover what interested me in fashion. And what I've discovered at 26 is much different from what I discovered when I was 16, 10 years prior. And I have a feeling that when I'm 32 or 37 or 45, the things that I discover along the way, the information that I take in, the experiences that I have will also not force, but will shift my perspective on what I deem to be stylish. And for you who's listening, depending on how old you are or young you are, it's probably something similar for yourself. You know, even if at a small scale, let's say you're 22 years old, when you were 12 years old, your sense of style, your sense of the world was much smaller than it was at 16. And then after you graduated high school at 17 or 18, you know, your sense of style changed completely because the peers, the people that you interacted with, they were also influencing what it meant to be cool, what it meant to be stylish. And I think there's a natural evolution and progression and change that takes place with individuals who are alive and who are social. And I think fashion is a reflection of that change. Your style is a reflection of that change. Now, there are themes that have stayed present for me in particular. I remember when I first started my YouTube channel, I was a huge fan of Ray Mia. I was a huge fan of a lot of YouTubers, and I was, you know, I kind of emulated a lot of what they did, right? Like early on for me, before I even started making YouTube videos, it was all about sneakers, right? It was all about the sneakers. I would watch, you know, Tom Stefaniak, Kais Omar, Tony D2 Wild, and I would care heavily about sneakers, sneaker drops, sneaker culture. I could never afford or buy or figure out how to get these sneakers, but I was obsessed, right? And it's kind of reflective of the time period that was the kind of boom of the sneaker market, the mid 2010s, early 2010s, 2010s era. And still to this day, I see that, you know, I love sneakers still. I would still say that, you know, sneakers for me are the, or were the primary thing that got me into fashion. And I can't ignore basketball sneakers at that. If I look up and to the right now, I have a pair of Jordan 1 Lost and Founds hanging in my room because I always will have a soft spot for sneakers, right? But my style doesn't reflect someone who's into sneakers wholeheartedly like it maybe did previously, right? That's one of the themes, sneakers. And for you, you probably have other themes for yourself where, you know, you still implement these elements within your style, but they aren't as dominant anymore. And that's the kind of point I'm trying to get at, right? Sneakers is one of those things. More the dominant side of things and things I've been into more and more recently, which it feels like there's a progression going on, is that, you know, from sneakers, and during 2020 and during when I started making content, I started getting more into Japanese Americana and workwear. And these things were also things that in the zeitgeist, in the sneaker, or not the sneaker, but in the fashion market as a whole, like these things are also kind of becoming more and more popular. I was becoming more and more aware of them because of the popularity of some of these things. So like, I remember when I first started my channel, I would do a lot of reviews on Dickies, Dickies 874s, or Carhartt double knees, Duck Canvas double knees, or Dungarees. And I did these reviews, and I, even like things like Levi's and things. I did these reviews because that's those items for me, and they still are awesome items. They represent this kind of entry level, this first stepping stone into finding pieces that are affordable, finding clothes that are affordable, that look good, that suit a look that I can actually afford and wear and feel good about without having to spend a ton of money on these items, right? I was a big fan of AOD, but I couldn't spend $200, $300 on some of the AOD pieces. I didn't know how to. I didn't know, like, I was too scared to try to spend that kind of money, even if, like, it would have been a poor spending decision because, like, you know, God knows I didn't have but a few dollars in my bank account. So that would have been like 60, 70, 80% of what was in my bank account. And it's good that I didn't spend the money on those things because I would have been fiscally irresponsible. But you know, there are also new modes of communication in fashion that as old modes of communication kind of change and or become less relevant, these new modes of communications, they take over, right? And there's still notes from these things of the past, but for every person, and for me in particular, like what I wore when it comes to Dickies and workwear and Carhartts and Levi's, they were great for allowing me to understand like how certain things should fit. They're great for allowing me to understand, okay, like there are elements that I like about these clothes, but there are elements I don't like about these clothes. And it was kind of like a learning process along the way. Fast forwarding to now, and the reason why I bring up Dickies and Carhartt and workwear and things of that nature and Levi's is that I have gone through a bit of a metamorphosis, right? There are elements that I still love about, you know, workwear. There are elements that I still love about, you know, whether it be double knees or cargo pants from Carhartt. But I think the way that I implemented them back in 2020 and 2021 and 2022, it no longer resonates with me now in 2024. In fact, I feel as though that I can implement them in a much more sophisticated way. And that sophistication can be reflected in my acquisition of new knowledge. And there are certain themes from the past, as you evaluate your own style or as I'm evaluating my style, there are things from the past like sneakers, like Americana, like workwear that will always be present. They will truly always be present. But there will be a varying degree to which I implement them within my personal style as I get older. It's true, like, and I hate to say it because I was someone who was young who didn't really believe in this, but you know, as you get older, I think the your priorities shift away from wanting so much to impress other people. And there are certain things in fashion that will only impress other people. If you have X item, it will impress another person, right? If you have a pair of, or you have a something from Maison Margiela, like a pair of Maison Margiela tabbies, or if you have a pair of, you know, Rick Owen Ramones, or if you have a pair of something, some item that whatever group that you're trying to be a part of, like certain things will inevitably impress other people. But what I've realized as I've gotten older is that, you know, for me, it's less about the trying to impress other people and more so about the discovery of what makes something actually worthwhile to spend your money on. Is it the fact that it has craftsmanship elements embedded in it? Like someone took a really long time and took their time to make something. Is it the fact that it has an awesome story? Is it the fact that it's a piece of artwork? Like I think about Av Granin's or Ave Granin's aviator hat that I just got in the mail from Ave. I don't know why I keep messing up that name, but from Ave. And Ave's work is fantastic. I had Ave on the podcast 2 weeks ago now. And when I got the hat in hand, I was like, damn, this hat is unbelievable. I've been wearing more aviator hats, but this feels like a total different shift away from what I had been wearing previously. And the reason why I wanted to explore this part of style and art and artwork is because this hat just seems so fun to me, right? And so there are things that will happen, you know, through the course of your journey that have happened in my journey where, you know, it's just a matter of, okay, it's not about story. It's not about, there is a level of craftsmanship and there is a level of sustainability with Ave's hat. There's certain things that you'll value more, right? Being able to support a younger creator like Ave is awesome. Like I can't really replace that with anything else besides supporting someone like that. So that I value that more and more and more. And as I continue to grow, like, yeah, of course, it's cool to be able to be a part of moments of fashion and culture at large, whether it be like big moments like, you know, Timberland's anniversary and doing things with Timberland, or whether it's Adidas trying to do something, or Nike or New Balance or whatever it is. Like, obviously those things from a cachet standpoint, from a creator standpoint, I want to be a part of. But I view the small guy, the small creator, the small dude or gal, whoever it may be, like, as someone who I want to uplift and talk to and have conversations with. That's a part of, you know, my style journey. That's a part of my form of communication to the world through the content that I make right now. The thing for me right now is that I feel like, and I know that I'm on a journey within my style, journey within fashion. That's important because I think we often have this idea that we will reach a destination creatively. I view fashion as this very creative, very expressive form of art. And I just don't see it as something anymore where, okay, once I get to this point, I have this piece, I have this outfit, I can do this with my style, that it's over. No, there will always be new plateaus or new cliffs, new mountaintops to reach when it comes to style. And that's what makes it fun, right? Is that if there's no, it's not finite. It has a... See, this is why podcasting is not easy, guys. I'm trying to get my thoughts out. Fashion is not finite, right? So that means that it has no endpoint. There will always be a new collection. As much as, you know, we can talk about consumerism from that standpoint, like, as much as there will always be something new happening in fashion, there will always be a new conversation, there will always be a new way to engage with it. And for you and for me, the question becomes, how do you want to engage within your style journey? How do you want to engage with the things that resonate with you within fashion? Is it doing things more sustainably? Is it taking a step back and realizing, okay, what I have is beautiful and is enough, and like recognizing that, hey, I don't really need to consume more. I can take what I have, like I just did with I just took some garments to Avery Ginsburg and he did some indigo dyeing on them. Like, things like that, like repurposing different items within your wardrobe is awesome. And it also reflects that change that takes place within your style, that takes place within the clothing that you have. Another big narrative in my head is that for me, like, learning tends to come before purchasing. Sort of, right? There are some things that, like with Avgranin's aviator hat, you can't really learn about beforehand because you just get so excited. You become so emotional about the piece that, you know, you decide to make a decision to, you know, see what it's about. And with Av, all the things checked off: sustainable, upcycled leathers, small creator, supporting an independent artist. I love all those things. But I was recently listening to a YouTube video by Fashion Roadman, and it was talking about Phoebe Philo. Phoebe Philo, I don't know much about her, but I know that one of her main philosophies in an article she talked about was, like, storytelling in fashion is a bit of a hoax. And at first I was like, I totally disagree. Like, what is she talking about? Storytelling is everything in fashion. Like, if you can't tell a good story, then why are you selling a product? And in a way, she kind of did like a bit of reverse psychology, because while I think everything has a story, everything is in a way a story, Phoebe Philo's point of view is that, you know, as a consumer, as a person who has interests, who has desires, a lot of times our decisions aren't based off of this idea that we're being compelled by a story in order to buy something. I kind of agree, kind of disagree with her, but there's some nuance that needs to be put into that comment. There is going to be a moment, and there are moments in each of our lives, where you like something and you have no explanation other than the fact that you think it's cool, you think it tastes good, you just like it. You're naturally inclined to like something. And then there are other moments in your life where, as your perspective begins to grow about a certain subject, you grow an interest about the thing, whatever it is, a piece of clothing, a fabric, a texture, a color, whatever it is, because the color, texture, thing, whatever the thing is, has history attached to it, has meaning. And that meaning can come from cultural meaning. If you're from a certain tribe in Africa, or a Native American community, or an Irish community, or a Dutch, like there's going to be things that your history, your family's history, the things that you like are attached to it, whether it be like war, culture, society, all these things. That's a bit of the story, right? And then there's going to be moments where, you know, you like something like Av Granit's aviator hat, for example, just because it's freaking cool. It's like so amazingly cool. And that's what I think Phoebe Philo is trying to get at. And it's interesting because I think both things can exist. And as a person who isn't a robot, like we do things that are impulsive. We buy things that we like that maybe we look back on and we say, that wasn't the best decision. And hopefully we do it in good faith, knowing that we're trying to do things that are sustainable and do things in the best way. But Phoebe Philo has an interesting point to be made that, you know, not everything is about story. Not everything is about history. Some things are just cool and we like them because they are cool, which is also a point of view that I think I had when I was younger. I tried to get rid of it through the last couple of years, but I think it's important to just keep all of the notes about conscious consumerism and caring and thinking about the things that matter to you front of mind, because everyone's going to be a little bit different. Everyone's going to have a different perspective on how their style is changing, what they like in a moment, what they don't like in a moment. And it's also important to evaluate and realize, okay, if I do see something on Instagram or in person or on a billboard, I'm like, damn, that is cool. Where is that coming from? Because there are a lot of implicit notes of influence at play in the era of social media. So Phoebe Philo will never probably listen to this podcast, but I think it's interesting for her to talk about how, you know, people buy things, they do things, they like things because they're cool. But why are things cool? That's kind of the things that's like the question I would ask next for Phoebe Philo, right? Just a kind of a thought experiment for the episode. Like, just if you only buy things because they are cool or because they resonate with you in an instant, maybe you should peel back the layer and try to understand why you view things as cool. Because I think there is a story there that, whether you choose to ignore it or not, is present and it should be explored. At least I try to explore it for myself. The last note I want to touch on for why your style will inevitably change is that, you know, for me personally, and this entire episode has been about me personally, obviously, but like, it's kind of weird to just talk about it in this sense. I'll never get over creating content as the shy kid who literally in high school, like, you know, I was shy. I had moments where I talked to people, but like, I was ultimately shy. So it's funny. I'm still working through that childhoodness of myself. But your style will change with your lifestyle. Like, style is embedded in the word lifestyle, right? And I've always liked words. I've always thought words to be really interesting part of the human experience. Obviously, as language is developed, like, it's just interesting. Like, style and lifestyle are kind of these two things that are inexorably linked together, right? And for me, I got this comment from this guy who said, you know, your style is so much, you know, it's really elevating. And I would say it has everything to do in part with the fact that my lifestyle has changed. Now, I moved to one of the fashion capitals of the world, New York City, and I feel very blessed to have done so. The what I see on a day-to-day basis, my expectation for myself, my hopes for myself have changed. And so in the last 7 months that I've been here, I've had to learn, grow, evaluate, change, read, suffer through not maybe being where I wanted to be in consideration for my job or for the content I was making or for the opinions that I had. I wanted to elevate everything I was doing. And I finally see how so many creators who are here, so many individuals, whether they are making videos or documentaries or movies or drawing or painting, whatever it is, they also feel this sense of, you know, in New York, you have to work just as hard to be seen in a place that has so much talent. And for me, like, that's the way I see it as well. So I've really put a lot of effort into making sure I read as much as I can. I put as much research into as much as I can, making sure that, you know, I'm tapped in emotionally and psychologically with myself, that my mental health is on point, that I'm going to the gym, that I'm socializing. I'm doing all the things that I said I should be doing in Colorado, but maybe didn't do in Colorado as much because I was in the comfort of familiarity. And now that I don't have that familiarity, I have to strive for myself, which is interesting, right? Because I think it goes into another lesson, which is, you know, we should all, not all, but my philosophy is that we should strive to push ourselves to be uncomfortable, to be in environments where it's not easy, to have conversations with people where you look like an idiot. Like, for example, I was talking to some people the other day, and I was looking at books, and there was a book of Katharine Hepburn, and I'll say it again, like maybe you'd be like shocked, but I'd never really known much about Katharine Hepburn. I knew about Audrey Hepburn, but I didn't know anything about Katharine Hepburn. And the people who I was talking with at this event, they looked at me and they said, "You don't know Katharine Hepburn? Like, how do you not know Katharine Hepburn?" I was like, I honestly have no idea who she is. And it was just one of those moments where it's like, there's always, it reminded me, there's always more to learn. There's always time, and there's always a moment to be humble and not get too big-headed because you don't know it all. And that's the kind of approach that I want to take with creating content, with learning about fashion, being on my fashion journey. And as I continue to grow, hopefully my humility increases, and therefore my style will also inevitably change because my perception of the world will change. My idea about what it means to be stylish will change, because hopefully I'm not at my peak at 26 years old. I want to continue to grow and continue to evaluate what matters to me, right? So that's just some food for thought for this week, for you, for your style, for the things that matter in your life. If it's not about fashion, it could be with your job, it could be with your school, with your friends, with whatever it may be. The only constant is change. It's a cliche quote, but if that's true, we all know it to be true, then why do we have this idea that our style also won't change, that we must be rigid? If you believe that, this entire episode was just kind of a thought experiment about why mine has changed and the things that have caused it to change. Hopefully you enjoyed it. As always, I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity in 2024. So that means I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity to you and more. Wherever you are in the world, have a wonderful rest of your day. A bientôt. We'll see you very soon. Peace.